Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner, 2019 draft prospect out of Wiggins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKS.
Welcome back to the show. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now, Brian Howell, our Buffs insider from Buff Zone. Brian, come on, man. Tell me, this is the week. This is the weekend. The Buffs get back on track, right? Going up against Arizona. Surely something's got to give.
Well, something has to give because this is two of the worst Power 5 teams in the country right now. And, you know, it looks ugly for CU right now with a four-game losing streak. But Arizona's got a 17-game losing streak coming in here. So their last win was in Boulder, actually, 2 years ago. So yeah. I think this will be the week, but you know, I don't have confidence in either team, and that's a tough game to try to project.
Yeah, it really, man, it's crazy, right? Take me back to a couple of weeks ago, Brian, when you know the Buffs beat the Bears, and then the next week they're going toe to toe with Texas A&M. It is like a night and day difference between those first couple of weeks to where we are now.
Yeah, I mean, we were not only talking bowl games, but I was talking to one guy on a radio show in the Pac-12, and we were talking about, boy, if the Buffs are going to be this good, could Carl Durrell win Pac-12 Coach of the Year twice in a row? And
wow.
we're far from that. So things have changed quite a bit. I mean, obviously, even in that A&M game, they didn't play well offensively. They only scored 7 points. And that's just really continued over the last several weeks. And, you know, they've gotten a little bit better. I mean, they got 14 points 2 weeks ago, which is the most they've scored since they played UNC. So it's gotten a little bit better. But, man, it's just brutal.
It really is, man. I mean, and when you look at the numbers, Brian, like we're talking historic numbers, right? Historically low numbers for this offense.
Yeah, it's really bad. I mean, they're 129th out of 130 teams in the FBS in scoring. But you take out the UNC game, which, you know, no offense to UNC, but that's an FCS opponent. The Buffs are averaging 8.5 points a game against FBS competition. I mean, that's insane. I mean, it is. You're right. It's historically, you know, one of the worst offenses we've seen at CU in a long time.
Yeah. Well, so what happened over the bye week, Brian? You know, you always wonder: are there going to be changes? Are there going to be some real deep research here as to what to do? Can you speak on anything there that might give some Buffs fans some hope?
Yeah, it's interesting because you know, Buff fans, whenever things like this happen, I mean, no matter what fan base it is. They want heads to roll, right? They want a coordinator fired. They want a position coach fired. They want a change of quarterback and things like that. And, you know, Carl Durrell has come out this week and said, nope, we're not changing any of the duties. You know, Darren Cheverini is still calling the plays. We're going to make some subtle changes that we hope will change things. And what those subtle changes are, you know, we'll see. We can't obviously watch practice in the media, so we have to wait until Saturday to see what that looks like. But it hasn't looked any different over the last 3 weeks. A little bit better results each week, but it hasn't looked a whole lot different. So we'll see what subtle changes they have this week.
Yeah, you talked about it. The quarterback side of things, that's been a big question on everybody's mind, too, is you know, what is the confidence factor right now for Durrell, or is it more or less, hey, this is who we have with Brennan Lewis? Because, you know, we talked about the backup situation, and clearly if you're not going to be putting Drew in there at some point, you know, even for at the end of those games, you must be really concerned.
Yeah, it's really an odd situation, you know, with, you know, the fact that, you know, Drew Carter is one injury away from being the guy, and for them to not take the opportunity in these blowout losses to give him some valuable game reps is really bizarre, in my opinion. But and that just shows you that they're so committed to let's get Brennan Lewis right that it's hard for me to imagine. I don't know how you go from, we're not going to give Drew Carter any reps in the fourth quarter and all of a sudden he's starting or, you know, being a big part of your offense, but you know, we'll see. I anticipate they're still going to roll with Brennan Lewis, and I think it should be a short leash, but they haven't shown that yet. So until they do, I've got to think they're going to continue to roll with him.
Yeah, which, again, just leaves us with a lot of these questions. Brian, is there a hot seat right now for Carl Durrell? Because last year was so great. It was a COVID year, but we were still excited about it. We know they kind of played perhaps not the strongest portion of the Pac-12 schedule. But either way, they won the games that were in front of them. Carl Durrell named Pac-12 Head Coach of the Year. Reverse that to one of the like the bottom two worst offenses in college football right now. And so, I mean, you're looking at a 1-4 record again, going up against an Arizona team that's really bad. Is Carl Durrell, like, is he, how hot is that seat right now?
Yeah, I don't think his seat is hot right now just because of the length of his contract. I mean, he's really only in year two, and technically has not even coached a full season's worth of games. I mean, he's coached 11 games at CU at this point. So, I mean, he's still owed, I think, $11 million or something like that, and CU doesn't have that kind of money. Unless there's a booster that all of a sudden says, Rick George, I'm going to give you $11 million to get rid of this guy. You know, I can't imagine that happens. So I think he's set for now. But I do think there are guys on the staff who are on the hot seat. And, you know, to me, it starts with Darren Shiverini, who, you know, I've always gotten along with, and he's a good guy, and he's a Buff, but it hasn't worked out right now. And I think that he's number one on that hot seat list. And so I think what I'm looking at more so is that staff and seeing what kind of changes might happen once that once the season finishes in November.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're, you know, a handful, so half the games here were in Pac-12 action here, you know, so if you can get a couple of wins in a row, you could change things around, and it starts with that Arizona side of things. And then I believe it's at Cal next, Brian. So when you look around, you think maybe there are some opportunities here for the Buffs to kind of right the ship, at least get a couple of wins, you know, get to that 3 or 4 mark, and maybe people will feel a little bit better.
Yeah, there is an opportunity here. You know, I'll give you a stat here. There's 4 Power 5 teams right now that do not have an FBS win, and 3 of them are CU, Arizona, and Cal. So, you know, that's going to change here in the next couple of weeks, and the Buffs would love to get both of those. I mean, there's an opportunity here. They're playing 2 teams that are struggling as much as they are, if not more, and so the opportunity is there. You're right. And if you get Arizona and you look fairly decent doing it, you take momentum into Cal. Maybe you get that one, and then, you know, you got Oregon next week, and maybe forget about that one. But, you know, still, if you get a win or two, they just got to win on Saturday to try to get some confidence back and get the locker room back, I think. And if you can get a couple in a row, then maybe you can finish the season with 4 wins.
Which I think, you know, at the beginning of the season, I was with you, Brian. At the beginning of the season, you're looking at a 10-7 loss to A&M, and you're going, wow, this Buffs team might be legit. Here we go. But now, it's funny how expectations change throughout the preseason, throughout the regular season. And, those expectations weren't, I don't know if there were even any expectations to start the season for the Buffs. But then you battle with Texas A&M. We turn it around to, okay, yeah, absolutely they're going to a bowl game. And then we saw what happened the next 4 weeks. And now it's, hey, can you get 4 wins at least to salvage it? And it is crazy. That's why we love football. It's maddening, man. It makes me want to pull my hair out.
Yeah, no question. Actually, you know, it's even worse than that. Right now, it's can you get that second win? You know, because if you don't get this one, you know, if you're CU, if you don't get this one against Arizona, it's hard to see them getting a win, you know, the rest of the season, because I just think that there's guys on this team. I hate to say guys are quit, but I think you start losing the locker room in those types of situations. So it's kind of do or die for the Buffs this week, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right, 100%. Brian, we didn't get a chance to talk to you last week, so I wanted to kind of follow up on the whole Durrell camera situation. Didn't get to get into that. It was such a surprise because, Brian, you and I have talked about this at length, and, you know, when you talk to Carl Durrell, he is such an even-keel guy. He is such a nice guy. I think I enjoyed talking to him the most at that football summit thing to begin the season. So that's why it was just such a shock to see something that's not the end of the world, but still it was a shock to see it.
Yeah, you know, and it's sort of out of his character, but at the same time he gets frustrated after losses, and he has shown that before, not necessarily by, you know, pushing a camera guy, but he's shown it by not letting players be available after the Alamo Bowl loss. And, you know, he's done a couple other things. He didn't do his post-game interview with KOA after the Minnesota loss. And so it's little things like that, you know, he's shown his frustration. And the camera incident, not a huge, huge deal, but, you know, it was about 2 seconds where he kind of, you know, made a long haul and didn't do the right thing right there. But, you know, he does get frustrated. He is a fiery guy. He's a competitive guy. And you want to see that in some respects, but you got to channel it in a different way.
Well, we'll see if he can channel it in the right way this weekend, and maybe that leads to a Buffs win against the bottom of the barrel in the Pac-12 South. Brian, appreciate you, man. What are you putting together that we can check out at Buffs Zone?
Yeah, just previewing this game and seeing, you know, the battle for the South basement, I guess, and trying to avoid the South basement, and you know, just a lot of things come up with that. And then, you know, we got our basketball coverage, obviously. I mean, Pat Rooney was out at San Francisco for Pac-12 Media Day this week, so we got a lot of basketball coverage as well. And hey, the basketball team has an open scrimmage on Saturday before the game, so for those coming down to Boulder, it might be a good opportunity to catch both of those teams on Saturday.
What do you make of the basketball team, Brian? You know, we're looking at what? Are there just two seniors on this roster? So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting, but I think it's a really good team. I mean, Tad Boyle has recruited well, and there's a lot of people who think they're going to take a big step back because they lost McKinley Wright. But I think they've got a ton of talent, and I think that Tad's got this thing rolling. And, yeah, I don't know if they're an NCAA tournament team, but that's a team that should expect to be in the NCAA tournament at this point.
Isn't that something, Tad Boyle? Like, you can have a coach like that, that you lose McKinley Wright, you have two seniors and a lot of young guys on this roster, but we still fully expect them to be really close to it, to at least getting into the tournament, if not very close.
Yeah, no question. I mean, he's, you know, CU fans, I know there's a lot of them that are every year that are, you got to fire Tad Boyle, need somebody better, but enjoy what you have, because this guy's a gem, and he, you know, this is some good basketball at CU, and if the football team could find a coach like Tad Boyle, that equivalent, it would be amazing for this program. You know, I think Boyle's been great for the basketball program, and if we could find his equivalent for football, it would change things a lot at CU.
Yeah, no question about it. Brian, appreciate you as always, man. Let's see if we can have a positive win conversation next Thursday. Hopefully we can get there.
That would be nice, because if they lose, I might just start covering basketball full time.
That's the beautiful part about October, right? You get to kind of just transition away quietly, and nobody will notice. So you could do that.
That's right.
All right, my man. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks.
All right, that was Brian Howell of Buff Zone. 38 minutes after the hour, and boy, we've got to get to my Thursday night special. I'm in desperate need of a win here. I mean, you put me in the same camp as Carl Durrell. Put me in the same camp as, well, Steve Adazio a couple of weeks ago. Don't put me in the same camp as Urban Meyer. But yeah, I'll be in the same camp as those guys. I'm desperate for a Thursday night special win. First, Colfax, let's jump out of here and get the latest on the local sports flash.